You are listening to the Living Hope International Ministries Weekly Bible Teaching Podcast. For more information, visit us online at lhim.org.
God bless. Welcome. That's great. Good stuff. Well, you can take your Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 5. We have been in a series, which we will continue for, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit, and we're on 3, so 6 more weeks. As we look at the fruit of the Spirit, and it's really been a blessing to go through this, and today, this morning, I have the privilege to teach on the fruit of the Spirit of peace, and I'd like to go again to Galatians 5. We've been looking at this each week, and I find it incredible as you can go through the same section of Scripture, another week, and you get little tidbits of truth from different teachers, and today we're going to look at it again and show you another little aspect of what's in this Galatians 5 that maybe wasn't brought up the last few weeks. But again, we'll start in Galatians 5 in verse 16 to pick up this context of the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16 it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit," which is what we're looking at these weeks, "the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires." Verse 25 then says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." So this section that I want to show you here is that it starts out with walk by the Spirit, and it ends here in verse 25 with walk by the Spirit. And last week, Reverend Finnegan in his teaching said, I just love the phrase he used. I just thought it was like, I was like, oh, that's great. And what he said was, the root of the fruit is walking by the Spirit. And I just really liked that. And I says to myself, this should be like on a chart, right? Or it's one of those things you should put on a coffee cup or on a T-shirt or maybe if you had a fruit bowl, right? And a nice white ceramic. And maybe Rose Ryder could actually take this and make better of it. But here is my little, the root of the fruit is walking by the Spirit. That these fruits are evidence in your life that you are walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit. And before I get into the specific fruit of peace today, I'd like to look a little more about this walking by the Spirit. And an interesting thing that I found, because I usually read from, for years read the King James Version, and now pretty much in my reading I read the NASB Version. But while I'm on the bus, I use my phone app, and my app is the ESV version that I use on my phone while I'm on the bus. And a few weeks ago, knowing that we were doing this, I was reading through the book of Galatians here. And you know how sometimes in your things, the sections, it'll tell you little thing about what this section's about. And in that my ESV version, it says that this is about, it says, to keep in step with the Spirit. I was like, huh, That's just an interesting tidbit of looking. So then I look closer at these two usages. The word in verse 16 where it says walk by the Spirit in the Greek, and I'm not going to get into big Greek here, but that word basically means walk. It's used, I don't know, hundreds of times maybe as walk. You know what it is to walk, right? Walk. All right, but this one in verse 25 where it says walk by the Spirit, it's a different Greek word. And it has a slightly different meaning, and it means to keep in step. And it's actually used as in a procession, in a row, as the march of a soldier, that you keep in step. Now, a little bit about me. Growing up in high school, I was a drummer in the band. And I got to the state of Michigan. I was had this chance at one time to go with a international band. We actually went to Tokyo 1 year. We went to Montreal, Canada the following year. And this was a very professional marching band. I mean, these guys were serious. You know, high school was good, but these guys were like, I mean, they were really serious marching band instructors. And we went for a week-long, intense training. And so we went to this training for marching band. And for the first 2 days, literally 2 days, the guy said, no instruments. All you're going to do is walk together. What? And so we spent 2 days just getting the walk down so that every single person in the band was walking the same step. And he said, now listen, in a marching band, now for those of you that know about bands and music, in a marching band, you play an instrument too. Now he said, now, and this is competition. And he said, now in competition, you may be playing the clarinet, right? And you may play a flat note at one point, right? But when the entire band is playing, the judge probably isn't going to notice that you played one note a little flat. But if you're out of step and everybody is going with their left foot and you are going with your right foot, everybody sees it, right? And so that was the whole thing, is to walk in step. And that's what I thought of with this is we walk in step with the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Well, in verse 18 of this verse, it says, if you are led by the Spirit. So what this tells me is that we follow the Spirit. We follow as the Spirit leads, as the Spirit directs. We walk in step. We don't want to walk out of step with the Spirit. We walk in step with the Spirit. To be led by the Holy Spirit is to follow the Spirit. Now, we're going to look, you can actually turn to John chapter 15. In these sections of John 13, 14, 15, and 16 is a tremendous section of Scripture where Jesus is about to leave, right? And he's going to leave this earth. He's going to ascend. He's going to die. He's going to be raised from the dead. He's going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. And he says, but I'm not leaving you alone. He's sending in his place the Spirit of truth. And that Spirit then takes the place of Christ. That Spirit is, it's called in some places, Christ in you, right? That Spirit is Christ in you. To follow the Spirit is to follow Christ. And we're going to see here in a minute, to follow Christ, one of the big ways to follow Jesus Christ is to follow the words that he spoke. That we make him Lord, we follow what he said. A big part of walking by the Spirit, then, is being obedient to the Word of God. This Word of God, according to 2 Peter, came as holy men of God spoke, as they were moved by Holy Spirit. It's spiritual knowledge. Walking by the Spirit, then, is fouling the Word of God. It's fouling the direction of Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is the result of how you live, how you walk. If you live according to the flesh, the fruit in your life is going to be the works of the flesh. If you live according to the Spirit, the fruit in your life will be the attributes listed in Galatians. I love this. I wrote, I don't know if this is in your notes, but don't simply tell people that you walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and the fruit in your life will be evident for all to see. I've had a lot of people tell me that they're walking by the Spirit. Right? And yet, I've seen the fruit in their life. And I'm like, no. It's not just, hey, man, I can do miracles. I can do healing. You should see what I can do. No. You don't need to tell people that you walk by the Spirit. As you walk by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in your life. And because the root of the fruit is walking by the Spirit. Jesus Christ, while he was on earth, exemplified this fruit in his life. He was gentleness, peace, self-control, love, kindness, joy, faithfulness, goodness, patience. When you saw Jesus on this earth, you saw in his life this fruit. It was evidence. And you know what it is about fruit? You ever go apple picking? And you look at that fruit and you go, oh, I want that apple, right? You want that fruit. Fruit is attractive. And the fruit in your life is a great witness of who you are in Christ Jesus and that you are one who walks by the Spirit. When you saw Christ, you saw love, you saw these things. Now, look what it says in John 15, what Jesus said. Here in John 15, verse 4, it says, abide in me, and I abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much, what? Fruit. You bear fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we are to walk in step with Jesus. We are to walk in step with the Christ. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up and gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Now look what it says here. If you abide in me and my words, what Jesus said, abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love, and if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. So, the Spirit we have takes the place of Christ. It's Christ in you. And now you can walk with love, joy, peace. How? By having Christ's word abide in you. And if you do, you'll bear much fruit. Now, this is good. Listen up. We looked at love. Last week we looked at joy. This week we're looking at peace. Now, ready for this? This is deep. It's not your peace. It's not your love. It's not your joy. It's Christ's love. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says to follow Christ. It's talking about following Jesus. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Remember last week, Reverend Finnegan shared about joy in the midst of tribulation? Jesus Christ, the reason he endured the cross, what helped him through was joy. And that same joy, it's not like, you know, you ever go to a wedding, and I don't know if they believe in God or not, but they're dancing at the wedding, woo, right? They're doing they're dancing, everybody's doing, they're all clapping, everybody's happy. You know, that's not joy. You know, that's in the world, yeah, you can see happiness, you can see people doing stuff, but that's not the joy we're talking about. We're talking about the joy of Christ, the joy of Jesus Christ. Look what it says here again in verse 11, 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in what? My love, Jesus' love. That love is not just the love, you know, love you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves me, yeah. No, no, no. We're talking about the love of Jesus Christ. His love. That's the kind of fruit we're talking about. That's the quality of the fruit is Jesus Christ, right? And then look what it says here in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you so that what? My joy may be in you. You see that? It's not just the world's joy. It's Jesus Christ's joy. His joy could be in you. Whoa. And that joy endured the cross. That joy endured the persecution and the tribulation that he went through. That you can have. The joy of Christ. Now look at chapter 14. Because now we're going to start looking at what I really want to get to today, and that's peace. And it's not just peace that the world says is peace. It's the peace of Jesus Christ. That's the quality of the peace that you can have. And here we'll start in verse 25 to get the whole context of John here. John 14, 25, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. The context is Jesus is about to leave. He's going to die. He's going to be resurrected from the dead. He's going to ascend to the right hand of God. He will be leaving this world, but he's not leaving them alone. In his place, he is sending the Holy Spirit, which is going to be Christ dwelling within them. And then he says in verse 27, peace, peace, I leave with you my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it to you, I give you. It's not peace that you can comprehend from a worldly view. It is peace that, well, we're going to see passes understanding. It is peace that comes from, according to Isaiah 9:6, Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. That's the peace we're talking about. Peace. So, what is peace? And these are just Webster's. I got these in your notes, but these are just Webster's definition of peace. Merriam-Webster. Peace is freedom from disturbance. It's a state of tranquility or quiet. I think for me, a lot of times to understand what something is to understand what it is not. And I especially think this with peace. Because here's where I want to get to with you with this is recognize these fruit in your life to help you maintain your spirituality. And peace, I think, is one of the great measurements for you and I to understand if we are walking spiritually or if we are walking carnally according to the world. So what is peace not? These are antonyms, which means the opposite of peace. Disagreement, discord, distress, upset, agitation. Don't agitate. Fighting, war, disharmony, frustration, worry. As I read these things that are the opposite of what is peace, it really made me think of what is recorded of many of the works of the flesh that we just read in Galatians 5. And I have it here on the chart also. What's walks by the flesh? Enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings. Those are antonyms of peace, of having peace. By understanding what the fruit looks like, it will help you discern in your own life whether you are walking by the Spirit or whether you are walking by the flesh. When you have peace in your life and you experience peace with the people around you, even when the circumstances are not very peaceful, but you do have peace, it is a great barometer to measure yourself as to whether you are walking spiritually or whether you are carnally minded. The question I pose to you is, do you allow circumstances to rob you of peace? Do you allow all the things going around you to take you out of that state of having peace? With the Spirit of Christ within you, you can have His peace in you. And you can maintain peace in the midst of tribulation. You know, I read Jesus and I just marvel. Like he's on the boat. They're all, Lord, we're going to crash. He's asleep in the boat. I also think of a record in Acts, just in Acts 12. Peter, James is taken and he's killed. Peter is taken to jail by those same people and he is now sentenced to die the next day. And it says, and the way it's worded there is, Peter, knowing this, is asleep. I love that. It's just a simple thing. Peter, you're supposed to die tomorrow. He's asleep. Just like last week we saw the joy with Paul when he was incarcerated, right? Peter had peace. And then God, an angel broke him out. Dude, it's so cool. But peace. According to Isaiah 52:7, Romans 10:15, and Ephesians 16, the gospel that we preach is a gospel of peace. And man, does this world need that? How much argumentation and division and, you know, these things that we read about in carousing, disputes, dissensions, war. How much of that is going on in the world? How much of that is in your workplace? How much of that is at school? Do you see this evil trying to just, it's all around us, right? We have a gospel of peace. Because there's a day coming when Jesus is going to rule the world. And all that stuff is going to be brought in to subjection to Christ. We have a message of peace. Let's look at some of these things about peace. Well, we'll stay here in John 16 and in verse 33. 16:33. Jesus said, These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have what? peace. I've spoken these things to you so that in me you can have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. In the midst of tribulation, in the midst of confusion and envies and strife and jealousies and all that stuff, we can have the peace of Jesus Christ in our lives. And I tell you, it's really a great witness. One time, this was a long time ago, where we were moving to a new building from Del Mar into downtown Albany. And I'm in the IS department, and there was a lot to get done. I mean, to make this move, we're changing our computer systems. We had to move, 300 computers from one building to another. We had to have it up and going by the time people were here. We had to have all the printers ready to go. And I mean, and you ever been at work where everybody seems to be a little uptight about a project? And it's like, everybody's ready to bite you. Say, could you do that? It's like, I'm sorry. That's what it was like. It was getting that intense, right? And everybody's, and my boss, she hands me this long list of all these things, this list of this needs to get done, this needs to get done. And I got 24 hours to do it. So these things. And she gives it to me. I said, okay, great. And she says, how come you're not upset? Why aren't you, everybody else is mad. Why aren't you upset? And now, what I said to her at this point really wasn't true. What I said to her at that point, I said, I don't care. And she just walked away. And that's, like I say, that's not really true. I do care about being working. I do care about my job. I do care about being professional. I do care about getting things done. But in the grand scope of eternal life, in the grand scope that Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to raise people from the dead and we're going to live on this earth eternally? No, I don't really care. And so, but at the moment, I didn't. But then a couple days later, after things had settled down, and people, I went into her office and I explained to her, and I said, listen, when I said that to you, it wasn't that I don't care about my job. And then I explained to her that it's because I believe in Jesus Christ. And but that was a way for me to witness. You understand? In the midst of all hell breaking loose, you and I can really shine in peace. And peace is a fruit that people want. People will say, oh, I want that. I want to be able to have that kind of peace. I love now where I work, I have two other wonderful Christians. We're a little triangle, me, Eric, and Rob, and we're all Christians. We all get along, and we're all in the IS department. Rob had just started a few years ago, and we were having another big system thing that we were changing over, and in computer systems, you make one mistake, it can affect the whole company. You know what I mean? And we were making this major change to a computer system. And it was time for the night we're going to go live. It was actually my computer. And I went to Rob, and I said, so you ready to do it? And I love what he says to me. He says, what's the worst that could happen? And that's our running joke now, which is great. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You know, the worst of the worst of the worst is that I die. But guess what? I'm covered. Right? Because Christ is going to raise me from the dead. So what's the worst that can happen? And that's our kind of, every time when we come to say, what's the worst that could happen? And it helps, it's simple, but it's because these things compared to what Jesus Christ has in us is nothing. It's nothing. I think of, we flew to Texas last summer, and my wife, she got these, I call them super duper sound canceling headphones, right? And I forgot that she had them, and we're on the plane ride. I can't remember which leg of the flight it was. But there, if you ever been, they're on the plane, we're next to a couple with two children. And I'm like, oh, God. And I know that my wife is much more sensitive than sound than I am. I'm like just dreading to look at what she's going through. I look over at her, and she's got these sound-canceling headphones on. And she's just... I don't know what she was listening to. I don't know if she downloaded a podcast or if she's listened to praise music. But all that stuff was... She was at peace. Because her mind wasn't so wrapped up into all that. She had something else. And we could have, you know, with Christ, he's like our sound-canceling headphones. Right? As you walk through life, you don't, you know, you hear it, you see it, but you don't have to hear it to where it affects you. You don't have to see it to where it takes you out. We can have peace. Peace. In the midst of tribulation. Look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Just look at some of these. We're going to just look at some of these great things in the scriptures about peace. Matthew 5, verse 9, it says, blessed are the what? The peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. We want to be peacemakers in a situation where it could get tense. You know what? You have a choice. Do you want to be a peacemaker or do you want to be a peace breaker? Don't be the one that wants to stir a fight. Don't be the one that wants to agitate, to start a fight, to make the situation much worse than what it is. Rather, be a peacemaker. That's what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said. In the midst of all things that go around, we can have a choice to be peacemakers. Look at Romans 14. Romans 14. Romans 14. And verse 19, another instruction from the Apostle Paul who received things by the revelation of Jesus. Romans 14, verse 19. So then, we pursue the things which make for what? Peace and the building up of one another. So in a situation that comes up, you have a choice. Do you want to let that, you know, something comes up. And you have, you know, how am I know if I'm walking by the Spirit? I have a thought, I'm going to kill that guy. Okay, maybe we can discern that that is a carnal thought, right? And we have at that point the opportunity to say, well, what does Jesus say? He said, be a peacemaker. So I have a choice that I can then choose. And maybe I don't know what to say, but guess what? We have the Spirit. We could say, Lord, what can I say in this situation so that I don't cause it to get to escalate and to be worse than what it is? And you can be a peacemaker. It's awesome. It's awesome. Look at James chapter 3. This says it really well. James chapter 3. Hebrews, James. James chapter 3, verse 13. It says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. And boy, I see this with people at work. Someone got something, and it just wasn't right. They got something I didn't get. Ooh, wait a minute. I think that's a little bit of jealousy, right? Or that's a little bit of envy. And you say, hold on a minute, whoop, whoop. That is not fouling Christ. I'm not supposed to think that way. That wisdom is not from above. That's what it says in verse 15. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. Recognize it. But it's earthly. It's natural. It's demonic. For where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then what? Peaceable. It's peaceable. How do you know if you're walking by the Spirit? When you have those opportunities in your life, what is directing your life? Is it envy, jealousy, strife? Or is it peaceable? Is it peaceable? Gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Look at Colossians. Colossians. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Verse 15. Look at this. It says, Colossians 3:15, let the what? Peace of Christ. Look at that. Let the peace of Jesus Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Jesus, of the Christ, of the Messiah, let that peace rule in your hearts. This word rule, I love this. You know what this word rule is like? It's the word used, it's an umpire, right? You know what an umpire, right? Calling strikes and balls, right? The umpire, right? You're in a situation, the ball comes at vroom, right? The situation comes up. That thought, I'm going to kill that guy. Out, right? Out, let it umpire. You know, I think I want to reach out to this person and lift them up. Safe. That's a safe thought, right? Let the peace of Christ rule. Let it umpire your heart. It's a great measurement for you to see. Peace is awesome. When you're at peace and you know you're at peace, there's just nothing that can fluster you. And that's what I think of. You know, when I think of Jesus, I think nothing got to him. Nothing. He just was at peace. And you could have that same peace as you walk by the Spirit. Look at Philippians. We're going to go to Philippians. We've been there last week, but we're going to go there again. Philippians chapter 4. This peace is just great. It really is a great fruit that you recognize to guard your heart, to rule in your life. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, and we've heard this before, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, look at this, which surpasses all comprehension, right? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for me not to get mad and to get jealous and to attack. It doesn't make sense. But it's Christ, right? It's beyond all comprehension, and that peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this word guard means protect as if by a military guard. And I shared this, I think, many years ago, but it's been a long time, so I'll share it again. When Connie and I lived in, and we ran a fellowship in Peoria, Illinois, we had a man, I think his name was Dan Stewart? It was Dan. And he was in the Army, and he actually had the privilege to be a soldier at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington Cemetery. Very prestigious thing to be asked to do that. And he told us about what he goes through as a guard of the unknown soldier. Did you know that those guards, the unknown soldier, do the same thing 365 days a year, 7 days a week, snow, rain, whatever. They continuously guard the tomb of the unknown soldier. And what they do is they walk, and I think it's probably about the distance of the stage here. I think it's like a 50, I don't know if it's 50 feet, or maybe it's 75 yards. And they just go in this little, they got a little track, and they just go. And then they turn around and they walk back. And they do that for a half hour. And the way it worked is they were 24 hours on, 48 hours off. They were groups of four that would do this. They'd rotate, and each of them would have to do this for a half an hour. And he said after they changed the guards, they'd have to go down in the room underneath. They'd have to take off all their clothes. They'd have to press all their shirts. They'd have to shine their shoes. I don't know what all they did, but he said all the thing it took them to do to get ready, he had to go up. He was up again for his next half-hour shift. I mean, and they did this straight, and he did this for like a year or more, that he did this day after day. And so when we went, the first time my wife and I went to D.C. was shortly after and we wanted to go see the change. We wanted to see this, the changing of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. So we went to watch the changing of the guard. And the captain will come out, and he will instruct the people as they change the guards. And we're there, and the crowd's all around. Like you're totally around it, behind, on sides of them. And the captain comes out, and he says, please, all, he got his gun, would everyone please remain standing at the changing of the guard, right? Now, I'm over here on the side, and there's a guy over here. He's behind him. There is no way this captain sees what's happening right behind him, right? This guy's behind him, and he's down like this with his camera because he wants to get a picture of the changing of the guard. And he's behind him. He doesn't see him. He's behind him. The captain sits here. It was requested that all visitors remain standing at the changing of the guard, right? This guy does, there's no way he sees him, right? He's still down here with his camera ready to take a picture of the changing of the guard. He wants to. This is so cool. And the guy goes, does it, bam, boom, looks straight at the guy. He says, it was requested that all people remain standing at the changing. And the guy gets up. It was great. It was great. But that's what I think of when I think of peace guards you. It guards like a military soldier. Nothing has to rob you of peace if you keep your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. And then it says, how do you get this peace? Well, it tells you right here. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Put on your spiritual headphones, soundproof headphones, and think on these things. Dwell on these things. The things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice. Practice these things. And then what? And the God of what? Peace will be with you. You walk by the Spirit. We walk in step with the Spirit. And the peace of God will rule in your heart. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a great fruit, huh? Last week we did a family camp song about joy. And I'd like to close a family camp song with you, and many of you know it, we can sing it two times, about peace. All right? Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit.
Spirit, forever I pray. In fathomless billows of love.
Let's do that again and sing it this week to yourself.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever.
Doesn't that just make you feel peaceful? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. God, thank you so much for giving us your word. Thank you for sending your son. And then, God, once he accomplished those things for us on the cross, ascended up on high, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit that we can walk the way that you've called us to walk. That we can walk by the Spirit, that we can follow Jesus Christ, that he can be the one that leads us, and that we can walk in step with him. God, that peace, that joy, that love, and all the other fruits that follow can be manifest and evidence in our life. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit us at lhim.org and subscribe to receive email updates so you won't miss out on new teachings, classes, and events. See you next week.